right? So before class, we'll chant the prayers as a part of the Vaishnavas. Jayan Nilo Premadanta Karna Pracho Kota Gela Acharya Thakur Ahamura Sarupa Ahasanata Shimad, His Divine Grace Abaya, Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Vijaya, Iskan, Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Vijaya, Adanda Gauti, Vaishnava Vrinda Gajai Namacharya Shidahuidas Thakur Gajai Param Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Jivasati Gaur Vakta Vrinda Gajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagavata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Gauradhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Maturidhan Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kajai, Yumanamai Kajai, Shubhani Galasi Devi Kajai, Sampeda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hanyama. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Okay, whoops, let's read the translation to this prayer. He who brought the treasure of divine love that was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya God? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. Thank you. Welcome home. Welcome home. It's like a rainbow festival. Welcome home. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gadanjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Maha. So, today is a very special day in the Vaishnava calendar. It's the disappearance day of Srila Baladev Vijayabhushana, the author, or at least he who transcribed the Govinda Bhash. And great Siksha disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So we're going to speak a little. And also, it's the either appearance or disappearance. It's the appearance day of Gangamata Goswamini, who's the role model for all the ladies here. So today we're going to speak about Baladev Vijayabhushana. So Baladev Vijayabhushana was actually very detached. He took birth in a place called Baleshwara. Baleshwara is actually right near Ramuna, where the Shira Chora Gopinath deity is. It's a very beautiful, isolated place. So he became very learned in Sanskrit, logic, rhetoric, and all those other different items that would help him in his devotional service. Later on, he began to travel to all the holy places, and he began to associate with the Tattvavada associates or followers of Sripad Madhvacharya. So he actually got initiated in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya and became very expert in the Tattvavada Siddhanta. And then he took sannyas in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. So he began to wander from one place to another as a sannyasi does, except during the Chaturmasya period. Finally, he came to Jagannath Puri, and there he began to preach for several days, and eventually he met one of the foremost disciples of Rasikananda. So, of course, Rasikananda was a disciple of Shyamananda, and this disciple of Rasikananda was Sri Radha Damodar, and he began to discuss devotional principles with him, and Radha Damodar, Sri Radha Damodar, instructed Baladev on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and pastimes, which he had not heard before when he was associated with the Madhvacharya sannyasis. Of course, recently the Madhvacharya sannyasis and the main acharya, the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, have accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Tirupati is Ramanujacharya. What?
I'm sorry.
That's Udupi. Yeah, Tirupati. Tirupati is Ramanujacharya, the Sri Sampradaya. It's a different Sampradaya. Speak more than mine. Okay. So it was in Udupi where he took association. Udupi is where the Madhvacharya Acharya proclaimed that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of God. He recognized that, and he recognized Srila Prabhupada as the foremost preacher of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the modern world. So Baladev's heart was completely transformed after hearing from Radha Damodar. And he actually accepted initiation. That's interesting. You could say, well, how can he accept initiation two times? Well, the point is that he accepted initiation into the Radha Krishna mantra. So you can actually get it, even though you have one primary initiating spiritual master, but you can get initiated into different mantras, because that's also what initiation means. Of course, diksha basically means to be disciplined by the spiritual master, given divyajnana. Divyajnana means you're given transcendental knowledge by being given some discipline or austerities. So, of course, in this country, we don't just run around and just take initiation from, let's say, different sampradayas, like the Sri Sampradaya, this Sampradaya, just so we can get different mantras. Can't go mantra shopping. Although, you know, if you want to get initiation or you want to get authorized to chant certain mantras to Lord Nrsingadeva, then you have to go to devotees who actually have that particular mantra. So he began to chant the Radha Krishna mantra, which of course we know is Hare Krishna. And he began to study the Shatsandarvas of Srila Jiva Goswami. And after some time, he became very expert. Baladev Vidyabhushan became very, very expert in Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. And then he was ordered by his spiritual master to go to Vrindavan and take shelter and learn more from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also used to sign his works as Sri Hari Vallabha Das. And he was very happy to receive Baladev Vidyabhushan. And for that time onwards, Baladev was kept by his side and he instructed him in the philosophy of Achincha Veda Aveda Tattva. So this is the philosophy or the understanding of the energies relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the expansions relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a total understanding of everything. Just like when I was in the university, I was studying physics and we were trying to come up with a total understanding of everything. The unified field equation. Anyone heard about that before? No. Anyway, this is something we studied. And nobody was able to come up with it. Even Einstein wasn't able to come up with it. But we have a unified field equation. And that's a chincha beta beta tattva. That everything is one and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One in the sense that it emanates from him, and different in the sense that it's his energy, has a different identity. And so the jiva souls are one and different from the Lord, the Lord's energies are different, other energies are different, the shaktis are different, one and different from the Lord, the material energy, which is expansion of the spiritual energy, is one and different from the Lord. So this philosophy pervades our philosophy. Baladev was instructed in that. One day, this is a very interesting story, this is the most famous story. In Jaipur, you had the Radha Govinda deities. And these Radha Govinda deities were taken to Jaipur because of the attacks of the Muslims. When the Muslims began to attack the holy places, especially Vrindavan. First of all, they moved the deities to Radha Kund. So that's why in Radhakut today you find the replica temples of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, because the deities from Vrindavan were moved to Radhakut and they thought it was safer there. Then, when the Muslims began to attack Radhakut, then they took all the deities to different places like Nathdwar, Udaipur, and of course Jaipur. And so in Jaipur you find Radhagovinda. Radhagovinda are actually in the center of the city of Jaipur. The city of Jaipur is one of the few cities in India that was designed, one of the few cities in India that's not on the spontaneous Raghunuga platform. What I mean by that is just a mess. By Raghunuga I mean in that particular case, not something that's high spiritually, but it's a messy, spontaneous city. But Jaipur is actually very nice, and the king's castle, palace actually, rather than castle, is right in the middle of Jaipur. And then part of the palace grounds, you have a deity of Radha Govinda. And every morning, the main people, and practically most of the people in the town who are actually religious, they come to take darshan of Radha Govinda. And they're chanting as they're circumambulating the deities, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. So this way, the whole city is Krishna conscious. At least most of the city is Krishna conscious. That's culture. That is culture. Nowadays, of course, someone in, not in India, but in the West, our ISKCON devotees should learn this culture. So if they're situated within, you know, some reasonable distance of the temple, especially walking distance, they should see the deities every morning, take the blessings. Otherwise, I mean, just like I am situated within a reasonable distance of the temple, so when I come back from a trip, if the deities are still open, I'll come and see the deities immediately. Of course, I'll wash myself first. Because Krishna is here. Sakshad Rajendra Nandana. So this consciousness is there in Jaipur, and this consciousness needs to be imbibed by the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. It's not that we're so advanced that we've transcended the personal understanding of God. That's not, actually I'm speaking facetiously, you can't transcend the personal understanding of God because Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaniti, Shabhyate. The highest aspect is the personal aspect, but somehow or other, we think we're set. That's impersonalism, when you don't go to see Krishna. I mean, if some famous person was in town, like, of course, most of the music stars I know or knew are dead, so I can't even think of one. Like, they're all dead. You know, John Lennon and George Harrison, maybe Ringo Starr is still alive. But even if he came to town, even if Ringo Starr came to Hillsboro, I would run there to see him. Yeah. Not to hear him play, but to see him, to give him some prasadam. So, anyway, so people just, you know, people get so impersonal. So in Jaipur, they're not impersonal. They go to see Govindaji every day. So what happened in Jaipur is, certain members of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, called Ramanandis, began arguing and discussing the point that, of course, their particular position was that it wasn't bona fide to have Radha and Krishna on the same altar. Who has ever heard of Radharani? Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Radharani is not directly mentioned. She's mentioned as though, as she who worships the Lord, or the topmost worshipper of the Lord. And in the other Puranas, she's mentioned, but not in the Srimad Bhagavatam, not directly, just indirectly mentioned. So they told, these pundits told the king, it's not bona fide to actually have the deities together. And actually, the Gaudiyas who've been worshipping the deities, because these deities were worshipped in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who actually excavated the holy places and discovered the deities, like Govindaji was discovered in the ground. There's a whole wonderful story about that. And Madan Mohan was discovered in the house of a Brahmin in Mathura, a Chobe Brahmin, by Sanatana Goswami, anyway, and previously by Dvaitacharya. So anyway, so these deities were Gaudiya deities. But the Ramanandis declared it's not proper to have Radha and Krishna together because these Gaudiyas, even though they have their opinion, they're just sentimental people. And they do not have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And if you don't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra in traditional Indian philosophy, sampradayas, you are nowhere. You don't exist. You're just like, you know, just a sentimental group, an appa sampradaya, basically. That's what they were accusing us of. So they separated the deities. So, of course, this separation of the deities has an esoteric meaning to it. What is the esoteric meaning? That Radha and Krishna, they were having a quarrel. So, in other words, Radharani exhibited her man or her anger towards Krishna, which Krishna enjoys very much, and she left, like she does in many of the pastimes. So in the particular pastime where they took the deity away, the Radharani deity away from Govindaji, that was really what happened. It's an esoteric understanding. So, but in the exoteric, or the pastime that we're accustomed to hearing about, it was because of an apparent philosophical misunderstanding. So, therefore, the Gaudiyas, or the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Jaipur, sent word to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, wanting to know if the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya had a commentary on the Vedanta. And the king wanted to see that commentary immediately to sort of resolve this particular conflict. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was very, very old at that point. And so he couldn't make the journey to Jaipur. It's actually quite a long distance. Nowadays it's a little easier. I made the journey, not by foot, of course that's how he would have had to make the journey. But I made the journey by taxi one time. It was a 5-hour taxi ride. And it wasn't a nice ride, because when I made it the roads weren't good. So, instead, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur sent his foremost disciple, sixth disciple, Baladeva Vidyabhushana. And Baladeva Vidyabhushana was very, very expert in debate. Of course, as I mentioned previously, he had training in rhetoric and grammar and all these other means that Vaishnavas were traditionally trained in. So there was a long and hard debate which he had with the Ramanandis, the followers, so-called followers of Ramanujacharya. Because Ramanujacharya actually did basically teach the same philosophy as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srivasa. And Ramanujacharya, this is a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Navadvip Dhammahatmya, in which he describes how Ramanujacharya met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was advised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not to reveal these esoteric truths that were later revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, anyway, so Baladev had this discussion, and he defeated the Ramanandis. He established, and the Ramanandis ultimately said, you know, where's your commentary on the Vedanta Sutra? And he said, of course, the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam itself says, Vashadam Brahmasutranam. Of all the commentaries, the Bhagavatam is the commentary of the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Of course, the Vedanta Sutra was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. And the Vedanta Sutra, just to tell you what the Vedanta Sutra is. The Vedanta Sutra is basically making reference to the different Upanishads. Each Vedanta Sutra verse has some reference to a particular section in the Upanishads. And the Vedanta Sutra is written in codes. What I mean by codes is that short statements, because it is understood that anyone's reading the Vedanta Sutra, we'll have the intelligence to understand what these short statements are in reference to. So that's the Vedanta Sutra. And so, anyway, so get back to the point. So, Jiva Goswami, not Jiva Goswami, but Baladeva Jibhushana actually made the point that the Vedanta Sutra's natural commentary is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that did not satisfy the pundits. The pundits declared at that point victory. They thought they had victory. They said, he admits that they had no commentary. Ha ha. We won. And Baladeva Vijayabhushana thought about it for a few minutes and he said, well, I'll show you the actual commentary on the Vedanta Sutra written in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So he said, take a few days. I just have to make a copy of it. So he was very troubled in his mind, thinking, oh my God, what are we going to do? So of course he went to the temple of Govinda. Whenever one is in difficulty, one should go to see Krishna. And of course, when one is not in difficulty, one should go to see Krishna. When one wants something, one should go to see Krishna. Akama sarvakama moksha kavadara diti vrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. One should always go to see Krishna. But especially, Krishna puts his devotees in difficulties so that they can exhibit sharanagati. It means the path of surrender. Yashaham anagrunami harish ye tad nam shanai. For those who I especially favor, Krishna says they take away everything. So that ultimately they throw their hands up. I mean, this is a very common premise or common thread that runs through many Vaishnavas' lives. I mean, you see this, of course, with Srila Prabhupada. Ultimately, you know, Srila Prabhupada tried his best with his business to be successful. And Krishna took everything away and he just threw his hands up, Govinda. I'll just follow the orders of my spiritual master and Ananya Shinta Yantomang Yajanak Pari Vasate. Tesham nityupa yuktamam yogikshen dhamyam. Then Krishna will actually carry what I lack and protect what I have. So, very common thread. And of course, we see this with Draupadi. Draupadi was put in the assembly house and they were going to disrobe her. And she was fighting, ultimately, fighting against Dushyant. And she kept struggling, struggling, struggling. Finally, she had to throw her hands up and just say, oh, Govinda! So Krishna brings the devotees to that point. You know, the pure devotees, all the devotees, are brought to that point where they just, whether it happens, sometimes with some devotees, it happens at the time of death. I've seen that. You know, some devotee leaves Krishna conscious, and then Krishna may arrange for the devotee to get some disease, some terminal illness. And so all of a sudden the devotee remembers his past devotional service. I've seen that happen in ISKCON many, many times. And the devotee goes and surrenders to Krishna, even at the last moment. And then, you know, basically achieves spiritual success, or at least, which is also spiritual success, at least service to Krishna in his next lifetime. So Krishna does that to a devotee. He takes things away. So this is very similar to what's happening with Baladeva Vijayabhushana in the story. So he claimed that there was a commentary, yet there was no, you know, specific commentary other than the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so he was in anxiety. So when in anxiety, just don't go to the psychologist and take some Prozac. Go to Govinda. He's the ideal psychologist. I'm not saying you shouldn't take Prozac if you've been prescribed Prozac. But still, I mean, your ultimate shelter is Govinda. So you go to Govinda and say, Govinda, help! And each of us will experience that moment, or moments, or many moments, where Govinda does that to us. So, he went and he said to the deities, you know, help! I said we have a commentary. And we don't really have a commentary, so you gotta help me. So, He related to the deities everything that had taken place. This is actually very nice, too, that a devotee has his personal relationship to the deities. You can go to the deities and explain to the deities what you're going through, rather than just, you know, texting someone who's not going to encourage you in devotional service. Of course, you can go to devotees, too, but I'm not saying we should go to more advanced devotees. It's not that we go to less advanced devotees to say, well, having spiritual difficulty. Oh, yeah, me too. Krishna consciousness is not practical. You gotta, you know, this, so it'll hurt our devotional service. So we go to advanced devotees, or we go to the deities and say, Krishna, this is my problem. Krishna is there. I'm your servant. This is my problem, help me. So he did that. And so that night in a dream, the deity spoke to him and said, you must compose the commentary. And this commentary will be personally sanctioned and dictated by me. There will not be any fault in it. So within a few days, you know, like 3 or 4 days, he had a whole commentary written on the Vedanta Sutra. I mean, that's incredible. If you read about the past acharyas, when they wrote their commentary, like the Srivastava or something, like that, it took years for them to perfect it. Not just 3 or 4 days. I mean, just years, editing, re-editing. Anybody who's written a book knows what I'm talking about. You just don't just write something down. And even after you edit it, re-edit it, and re-edit it, you know, for the 10th time, it'll still have some mistakes. Someone who reads it, I mean, I discovered that with my book, and you know, minor mistakes. Someone who reads it will say, Maharaj, you made some mistakes. But there were no mistakes in Baladeva Pitjabhushana's commentary. Amazing. So he wrote in his commentary in an addendum, this is interesting, Vidyarupamushanam ye pradaya katim niche tino yo mamadaraha shri govinda swapna nirdishta basche radha Bandhuranga Sajiyat. May Sri Govinda be all glorious by his mercy. He revealed this commentary to me in a dream. In other words, he spoke the commentary. Not only told him to compose it. The commentary revealed by him is especially appreciated by the highly learned, and as a result of this, I have been given the name Vidyabhushan. But it is Sri Govinda who deserves all credit. May that Sri Govinda, who is the most dear life and soul of Sri Radhika, be all victorious. Wow, what a verse. You know, he's not taking the credit, which is like a humble Vaishnava position. So then he went with this commentary in hand, and he showed the pandits his commentary, and they fainted, basically fainted. And they were all happy, and the king, who was a Gaudiya actually, was also happy. And the pundits gave him the name Vidyabhushana. And this was the year 1628, Shaka era. I'll explain what Shaka era is. Devotees think that Shaka era has something to do with something spiritual. It's interesting. It has nothing to do with anything spiritual. It indicates that how many years after the Central Asian invasion of India. That's what Shaka era is. So it's not that this is, it's unlike Chaitanya year. I mean, devotees think so many things or come to so many conclusions, have so many rituals that really are not there in the Shastras. So, from that day forward, the king declared that every day people should see, go to see Sri Govinda in the morning if they wanted to live in Jayapur. Very nice story. And the Ramanuja Pandits all accepted Baladeva Vidyabhushana as their acharya, and they wanted to become his disciples. But Baladeva Vidyabhushana, following the etiquette, said, no, you can become my fiction disciples, but you're already members of the Sri Sampradaya. So, therefore, stick with your Sampradaya, but you can also accept instruction from me. But the Sri Sampradaya is bona fide, and to insult your sampradaya is actually a great offense. Anyway, he carried this message back to Vrindavan, and Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur and all the Vaishnavas are very happy to hear this. After this, Valade Dijabhushana wrote a commentary on the Shatshandarbha, that is the work of Srila Jiva Goswami. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur passed away after some time, and Valade Dijabhushana became the main acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And it's also, yeah, it's also interesting that you see in the connection in the list in the Sampradaya given by Srila Prabhupada and also by Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur that you have Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur and then Baladeva Vidyabhushan, even though Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur did not initiate Baladeva Vidyabhushan. You find, according to Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, that our Sampradaya is mainly a Sampradaya of tattva, or truth, or siksha sampradaya. Although diksha is essential, but siksha is considered, let's say, on a higher platform even than diksha. That's why in the Krishna Conscious Movement it's very important that we emphasize the siksha of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, regardless of anyone who is initiated by anyone. And this is essential in order to keep our movement together rather than to have it break up into a series or a bunch of different cults or different subgroups. So there is more necessity of stressing Srila Prabhupada's position and Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So anyway, so there's some information here about his commentary, which I'm not going to read the full commentary. He also commented on Madhvacharya's commentaries, and he taught Madhvacharya's nine points of philosophy, and I'll just read those. Krishna was known as Hari, the Supreme Lord, the Absolute, number one. That's number two, is the Supreme Lord may be known through the Vedas. Three, the material world is real. Four, the jivas or souls are different from the Supreme Lord. Five, the jivas are by nature, servants of the Supreme Lord. Six, there are two categories of jivas, liberated and illusion. Seven, liberation means attaining the lotus feet of Krishna, that is entering into an eternal relationship of service to the Supreme Lord. Eight, pure devotional service is the cause of this relationship. And nine, the truth may be known through direct perception, inference, and Vedic authority. These same principles were taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of course, Baladeva also was the one who gave us the five categories of tattvas. Tattva doesn't really just mean truth, it means something that exists, something that constitutes reality. I mean, most devotees translate tattva as the word truth, but it means much more than that. So, these are the five that we're familiar with when we study the Bhagavad Gita. That's Ishvara, who is God, Jiva, which means the soul, Prakriti, which is the stuff, Kala, time, and karma, or action. So, and then Baladeva Goswami has also stressed that the Lord has the three different energies, Vishnu, Shakti, Pada, Prabda, Chaitrakya, Tata, Pada, Vidhi, Karma, Sangyanya, Tritir, Shakti, Ishute. So, let's see, I'm going to finish up with just the distribution. Anyway, read his different literatures, the thing. He wrote a commentary on the Madhva and Chaitanya schools, known as Pramaya Ratnavali, a summary of Gaudiya Vaishnava principles called the Siddhanta Darpana, the Kavya Kostuba, a book of selected Sanskrit verses, Aishvarya Kadambani, Vyakarana Kamudi, that's the book on grammar, Pada Kostuba, selected prayers, commentaries on the Upanishads, on the Ishopanishad, which Srila Prabhupada makes reference to when he did his Ishopanishad, and also the Gopal Company.
Battery low.
Thank you. That's my phone. That wasn't my super soul speaking to me in the heart. So, a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, Gita Bhushana, Pasha, and the commentary in the Vishnu Sahasranam, Srimad Bhagavatam commentary, which Srila Prabhupada utilized when he translated his Bhagavatam, called the Vaishnava Nandaritika, Jiva Goswami, a commentary on the Sat, the Sandarbhas, commentary on Rupa Goswami's Stavamala, Natha Chandrika, Jayadeva Goswami, a commentary on Jayadeva Goswami's Chandraloka, which is called Sahitya Komudi, a book called Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Lagu means light, in other words, a small commentary on the Bhagavatam, Nataka Chandrika and Shamananda Shataka. Baladev Vijayabhushana disappeared in the Christian year, 1768. So it's also the disappearance day of Gangamata Gosamini. What? What's that? Oh, it's the appearance day. You said disappearance.
I said, or not check the calendar, not check appearance.
Oh, you changed your mind. Okay, so it's the appearance day of Gangamata Gosamini. And she was very, just one story real quickly, we just had 1 minute. She stayed in Jagannath Puri, and there's of course the famous story that she was ordered to take bath in the Ganges, and she didn't want to leave Jagannath Puri, but the Straita Ganges overflowed and carried her into the Jagannath Temple in the middle of the night. And she was discovered there, and she was arrested and put in jail. And then the king actually had a dream that you've committed a great offense against my great devotee, Gangamata Gosamini. And so the king later on took initiation from Gangamata Goswamini. She's a spiritual master in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. There's a very nice temple that she established in Radhakund, and Shamakund, right near the Shamakund, Manasapavana Ghat. Has anyone seen that temple? It's right near the Bhajan Kutir, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. And it's to the right after you leave the Manasapavana Ghat. And they usually keep a cow. There's a very beautiful temple in the Shamakund area. So, I guess that's all we have time for today. So thank you very much. All glorious to the Divine Grace, Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, Jai. Okay. Thank you all for joining us. Sweet Bhanjali. Wow, Sudesh Singh. Jai Radhika. Wow.